Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Enger. I'm 55 years old. Today is February 9th, 2018, and we're at the offices of Ohio Means Jobs of Athens County, and I'm here with my new friend, Jessica. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How old are you, Jessica?
46.
That's a great pleasure to meet you. I've enjoyed our discussion before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to start with a really big question, with a real doozy, namely, please tell me the story of your life from the time you were a little girl up to the present day.
Well, my life started in a little village not far from here. I was born to a very young mother. She was 13. I was given to my grandparents, which my grandpa was pretty much a drunk, beat my grandma up all the time, and my grandma was like, had a mental disability. And when I was about six, I think, I stayed there for that time, and then my mother decided that I couldn't stay there anymore, so she gave me my uncle, which was very abusive to me. And he would make me get on my knees and tell me that I was really a dirty person, six, and I'd have to pray and make God forgive me for like every day. And then they found out about this, so my mother had taken me with her, where I had a stepdad there that was very abusive and also a drunk. And he would beat my mother on very, very regular basis. And he would let his drunken buddies come in. And like when I was seven, it was the first time that I had been hurt by one of them. And from the time I was seven on through. And then I had, you know, a couple little brothers, and he would beat them real bad because they didn't belong to him. So, and then my mom and him would go away for like 3 or 4 weeks at a time whenever the first of the month came and take the check and food stamps. And me and the two little boys would be there with no food or nothing. So it was pretty rough. And then the whole time it was always about alcohol, always about women getting abused. And as a child looking back, you just think you have no love. You know, you didn't think he was worth anything. So you just stayed kind of isolated, I guess. And then when I was 11, something really bad happened, and I ran away from my home, and I started living on the streets from the time I was 11. I met my husband when I was 14. He was 10 years older than I was. He was also a drunk. First time he life-flighted me, I was 16. And I got pregnant, and then after he beat me up real bad, he said it would never happen again. And of course, being me, that somebody needed somebody to love so bad, I was so desperate looking for it that I believed it. And it was nonstop. I got beat up almost every day. But I wanted a husband and I wanted a mom, a dad and a mom for my kids, something that I never had. I never had a family. So I figured since I was the one only getting beat up, that at least they had both parents. He was a very bad alcoholic and he never worked. I worked. And my children seen this all the time. And then I got hurt at work, you know, and then I started taking pain pills. And then my pain pills ran out, and then I couldn't get them anymore. And then I went into heroin. And after I went into heroin, I think I was like 30 when I went into heroin, after living this horrible life this whole time, it was nothing but chaos and drunk. And it was like it just fixed something. It was like whatever was missing, it made it all better. And then after you're on it, what is so bad about it is you're on it for a couple days or, you know, even a week, then your body physically has to have it, and that at all costs you're going to get unsick. So it was like that was my life. And then my house burnt down, and my trailer, you know, everything I'd worked for, I'd completely lost it. And I was kind of homeless with kids, dragging them all around. My kids seen the addiction. My kids seen the same hell that I lived, they were living. Children's Services took my kids. I lost them. And then I just kept sinking lower and lower. And at all costs, and no matter how bad life got, I still couldn't get off. I still couldn't stop. After I cut my wrist, I put a gun under my chin. I pulled the trigger, but they didn't go off. I OD'd on purpose. And all through this entire life, this horrible life, I still didn't know how to stop, and I still couldn't quit, even though I was at the end of my rope, and no matter what, I just wanted it to end. And I hated God. I hated everybody because I blamed everybody else for what happened to me, and that was my only escape. And I figured since that was my escape, that's where everything went wrong. And I hated God for waking me up. And I didn't want him to wake me up. And everyone's like, God's good. And I was like, how does God let that stuff happen to kids, you know? And it was like, I was just at the end of everything. I just wanted everything to end. I got busted. I got my possession of heroin. And I went to prison. But I was only in prison like 90 days. And then I did like the Monday group. And after I did the Monday and Dayton, I kind of learned a little bit about why and things, how things were, but I never unleashed any of the stuff that was buried inside. So the thing is, it numbs all the stuff, but when it goes away, when you're, you know, when you're not high anymore, that stuff all comes back, and then you're just buried with it all again. And another thing people don't understand is you can't make me quit. You can't fix me. I gotta want to stop. I gotta want a better way. And you can help me learn the better way, but you can't fix me. And you can't make me want to be fixed. It's something that you have to desire inside yourself. And like throughout my entire addiction life, nothing, I couldn't get out. It was just like a trap. It was the horriblest life ever, and I still couldn't get out. And lost a lot of people, lost a lot of friends, a lot of people down, dead. OD'd and died myself, but still it just wasn't enough. Lost my kids, seen them begging me, holding onto my legs, begging me not to let people take them, not going to visits because I thought they was better off without me. And none of that was enough, you know? And it's like seeing four of my kids go to prison out of the five, and the only one that didn't is my youngest because I thought it was because he wasn't around me, you know? And it's like this same vicious cycle. It just keeps going and going. And it's like just beat you down so bad that you're just like, you feel like you're completely worthless. Like you don't even exist to even breathe. And why would anybody want you around, you know? And it's like this last time when I went to prison, I got clean because, you know, I withdrawed in prison. So, you know, I got out of it. I couldn't get out of it here. I had to go away to get out of it. And I've been clean 18 months. And, now I just work through it, you know? And it's like, I see, and now my grandkids doesn't have to have this cycle. I want this cycle to stop here. But it's just like, you got to figure it out. And it just takes, I don't know, something, some kind of help, but you can't fix people. Putting us in prison don't help. Putting a drug addict in prison, you didn't teach them nothing because they're still addicted, and when they get out, they're going back to that life. So it's like, it's got to be a combination of different things. And the most thing is you need to listen to us. You need to listen to the ones that's sitting in the seat that knows that life. A book can't tell you our life. You don't have any idea how passionate and how hard this is. As being an addict, listen to somebody that is book smart, because this is not. And another thing is they believe that you do it for fun. You become physically addicted. Another thing is they believe that it cares who you are, and it doesn't. It doesn't care rich, poor, anyone in between. It doesn't care who it takes. And when it takes you completely. So, but that's me.
Strong woman. You've experienced a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of hard-fought wisdom. If you had $1 million today and you could use it to improve the lives of people who are experiencing real hardship in Athens County, what would you do?
I'd want a kid not to be hungry. I would want a parent not to be homeless with their babies and dragging them around from house to house. If I had $1 million, I would try to help every single person that I could to not ever have to have their kid share a can of corn or have the utilities turned off or have a parent that's a drug addict and that's struggling to make ends meet and, you know, just like completely all your money and everything goes into the drugs and every kid, the kids get left out and we don't see that. And I would just like to take, I'd like to have that money just to set back and say, look what you're doing to your family. Remember, this was you one day. Remember that when you were that little kid sitting in that corner hungry or feeding two little boys a piece of bread because there was no food. And then here we are dragging our families into it, and we do it because we're so overwhelmed. Like, you don't have no house to live in. You hate yourself already. So you are going to numb it. If you don't have electric and your kids are sitting there suffering or your kids are hungry, then you already hate yourself. So you figure they're better off without you anyway. And I would just like to make no kid hungry or no kid have to see their mom diminished to something they're not, or be in an abusive relationship because they have nowhere to go, or, you know, have to stay with families that hate them or treat them bad because they have no ends to it. So it'd be nice just to be able to say, you know what, here, take this, go raise your family and be who you're meant to be. And that'd be nice to do.
Jessica, I'd like to ask you to use your imagination again. Mm-hmm. Namely, imagine that a rural middle school or high school here in Athens County is having a pep rally. Typical thing, all the kids are there, all the students are there on one side of the bleachers. Maybe it's a basketball pep rally, so they've celebrated the basketball team. The cheerleaders have done their thing. The principal is out in the middle of the basketball court at a microphone and says to the kids, we've brought in somebody to share some words of wisdom with you, wisdom about life. Turns to you and says, kids, this is Jessica. What would you say?
I would tell the kids that I don't know what their home life situation was, but I know what my home life situation was. And I'd want them to know that that ain't who they got to be. That just because they see it every day and they live it every day doesn't mean that's who they have to grow up to be. Just because you grow up with an alcoholic doesn't mean you have to drink. Just because you grow up with a mom that's using a needle doesn't mean you have to do it. You don't have to follow in our footsteps. You can be whoever you want to be, and there's nothing that can ever stop you from being it. And don't believe just because you're in that circle of life that that's all the life there is, because that is no life. You're not living there, you're existing. And I would just want them to know that strive to be whatever you want to be, and don't ever give up on your dreams. And if you're in a bad situation, get out. Because if you stay in that situation thinking, like I did in that marriage for 20-some years, thinking it wasn't hurting my kids, it really did. It destroyed them. But I didn't know. I didn't see it. And then when I started using drugs too, I thought I was numb and it was making things better, but it was just a horrible life for everybody. And I just would want them to know that just because you live it don't mean you have to be it. And there's ways out, and that don't waste 46 years. Don't waste 46 years of your life thinking, what could I have done different? Start right now. Start right now at your middle-aged kids or your middle age or your high school even if you're 20, start right now and build something for yourself and make you a different person. You don't have to be that person. Don't be your mom if you don't want to be your mom. Don't be your dad if you don't want to be him. Be who you want to be and make yourself who you want to be. And don't ever give up on yourself. And don't ever think you ain't worth it, because you're worth every breath. You're worth every second. And I would want them to believe that. I would want them to know that.
Jessica, I know from listening to your story that you've been through a lot, but I get the sense that things are looking up. Why?
Yes, they are. I mean, for the most important thing is I don't have to use a needle to feel better. I wake up in the morning, my feet hit the floor, and I don't have to get unsick. And that, to me, if 17 years of using, is the most miracle of anything. And I choose not to. I choose not to ever do that again, even with the people that I see around me that are still in it, and even friends, or whatever you call them. They weren't friends, you know what I mean? They were just there for that. But it was I see them still in that struggle. I see them still in that hell. And it's just that's not who I ever want to be. And it's just I want better for myself. And I believe right now, this one thing that really does me in, I believe I'm worth it. Before, I always been hurt since I was a kid. Every day, if you're downgraded your entire life, You're ugly. You're this. You're no good. You're never going to amount to nothing. You believe that stuff. Physically, a black eye will heal up. But emotionally, that stuff scars inside. And you really honestly believe every word of it after you've been told it for 50 years or how many ever years? 40 years, I'd say. Out of my 46, I've been told that 40 of them. So it's like, now I know I'm worth it. Now I know when I wake up, I don't have to be what you want me to be. I don't have to be skinny. I don't have to be blonde hair. I don't have to be those things. I don't have to be what the magazine says. I don't have to make a man like me. I don't have to have your permission anymore to be free and love who I am. And I'm okay with who I am. And before, I was never okay with who I was. You know, it was like once you're abused so much, you just become, you're your own worst critic. And it's like, that makes me free. To lift all that off me makes me free. And for the first time, I feel free. In my whole 46 years, I feel free.
You're a strong woman. That shines through in the way you look, the way you speak, and the things that you say. Jessica, what's your special sauce? What's your secret? Where does your strength come from?
Hatred. Hatred of heroin. Hatred of all the time it's stolen. All the things that, like, grow up, my youngest three kids, you know, 12 years old was my baby, you know, and then my daughter having a baby in children's services and having a baby at 16, my four kids that went to prison, the things that I never got to be with because it stole it from me, and not knowing that it was going to steal it, not knowing that it was going to take all that stuff from me, not, you know, and I believe that we go through things like this now because we're meant to tell people. We're meant to tell people what not to do, what be careful. Like, you know, and it's like, no one told me that stuff. No one told me that when I was growing up as a little kid that I didn't have to be poor. No one told me that I didn't have to use drugs. No one told me there was a better way out. No one told me I didn't have to stay with the man that beat me up real bad. No one told me that stuff. And I was just like, that's where my strength comes from, because I don't want somebody's little kid to be 46 years old living this horrible ass life that I had to live to get to be here one day and say, I made it through. I want you to be shining. Make it through anyway. You know, you don't have to live this life. And I just want them to know that. And I just want people to know that we don't choose this life. You don't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to be a heroin addict today. I'm going to shoot up. Sat in the bathroom for 2 hours poking myself thousands and thousands of times, trying to get the drug in me to get unsick, and then do it again in 4 hours. Because once 4 hours comes, you're going to start getting sick. And when 8 hours comes, you're going to be really sick. And when 12 hours comes, you're deathly sick. So it's, you know, that's coming. You never have enough. It never ends. You wake up, you go to sleep every day for 365 days a year. For 17 years, I did this. And it never ended. Dragging your families, doing whatever you got to do at all costs, selling your body, stealing, robbing. You know, nobody looks at that stuff. That ain't who we are. We would never do those things if it wasn't for getting unsick from that drug. We're good people inside. And me living that life for so long, I didn't believe I was any good. And now I know I am, because I know I don't need it today, and I don't do that stuff today. So I just know I'm a good person, and I know that's what made me not that way.
Jessica, I'm really grateful. I know how fortunate I am to have this chance to sit down with you and to soak up inspiration from you and from your strength. The last word is yours, but for my part, I'd like to say thank you.
You're welcome. For my part, I just want you to, you know, I am that little girl that suffered. I am that little girl that's been hurt. I am that little girl that's been in domestic violence. I am that little girl that's been a drug addict. And I just want you to know, even if you're a guy out there or your kid out there, a boy out there, and you're in this life, and I just want you to know, keep dreaming. Don't stop. Don't ever give up on yourself. Because if you can't save yourself, nobody else can save us. And I just want anybody out there that's listening to this story to know, you can't fix us. You can't change us. We got to want to stop, for one. And I just want you to know that we're not those people that that do drugs and do those bad things. Inside were people. We just didn't know how to escape it. We didn't know how to get out. And it's just, it's nice to learn a different way. But please don't stop dreaming. There is a light at the end of this tunnel. You just got to believe in yourself and push forward. You will make it.
Are you sure you finished recording? Yes.